Lord, we praise you. We put our eyes on Jesus. Right now, we just turn our eyes to Jesus. We look away from all that would distract. Everything is better when we look at you, Lord. You take everything away, every sickness, every hurt, every pain in a moment. And so we look to you, Lord, and let it be said, a Victory Life Family Church, this is our story. This is our song. You online, this is your story. This is your song that we are praising our Savior all the day long. Hallelujah. Don't we have a Savior to praise? You know, the other day there was a lot going on in my day, and he said, praise me. And I just started praising the Lord. And in a second, all that other stuff was gone. All that other stuff. Glory to God. You may greet one another this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to those of you online. We're glad to have you with us. This is a blessed place. Be expecting one word from God to change your life today. This is the day. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing. We're glad. We're thankful. We're grateful. We're blessed. Hallelujah. That's what I say to my daughter every morning. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, if it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church, and there you can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, testimonies, access our past sermons, and video, audio, and the notes. Don't forget the notes, because there you can further the study. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. And I just want to say, if there's anyone here that's extra special good with social media, come see us. We could really use someone for social media help and another volunteer area. Praise God. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is on our website. It's also a link is there that you can subscribe to it every day to be sent to your email inbox. It's also on Facebook every single morning, so you can go through that way. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. And thank you all for serving in pre-service prayer. That is a place to serve in. Your supply matters. Everyone who comes here, we all have a river on the inside of us. We all have a presence and a supply that we bring. And when we bring that together, when there's many rivers coming together, it's a mighty force. And so it takes all of us together. Prayer makes a difference. Wednesdays, we're still doing our Jesus the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. What a blessing. These sessions are filled with teaching, discussion, activation, hands-on training, prayer for one another, ministry labs, and doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30 on Wednesday nights. And so also we invite you to church this Friday from 9 to 10. We're going to have prayer here. And Friday specifically is prayer for our community and our church. That's specifically what we pray for on Friday. Sunday morning, pre-service prayer, we're specifically praying for our service and for you all here and for the utterance and flow of the service. So we pray that out. But Fridays is a time where we come together. It's from 9 to 10. We pray for the church. We pray for this community, and we pray for one another. We have a time of prayer requests at the end, and we pray for one another. It's such a powerful time. So we start at 9, we end at 10 promptly. You know, not saying that Holy Spirit won't ever have this time where, praise God, revival begins on a Friday morning, right? Amen. Volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, the coffee station back there, ushers, video production, like I mentioned, social media, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. And also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or discipleship class, please let us know. And we would love to work with you on that as well. Praise God. Thank you to all of you who volunteer. What a blessing you are to be here. And so, praise God, it's offering time. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Our Heavenly Father has gifts to give us. He is a good God. He is a good God, and He loves to give us gifts. He's a giving, loving Daddy God, and we're made in His image. So I'm going to read a couple other scriptures while you're turning there. John 3:16, this is for example, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his one and only son. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, you don't need to turn there, but he gives us all things richly to enjoy. He's a giving God. He's a good God. Don't ever let anyone tell you different than that. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and I am reading this out of the Amplified Classic. It says, now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God. And my Amplified Classic says, given to us, he gave us Holy Spirit, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And I didn't have this in my notes, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, you don't need to turn there, but to each one is given the manifestation of Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. That's why he gave us Holy Spirit. So it's always great to receive gifts, right? We all enjoy receiving gifts, getting gifts. It's fun. It blesses us. But the best gifts are the ones that we give others. Our lives are so much more enjoyable when we look for ways to bless other people. And I want to encourage you, if you're having a bad day, find somebody to give something to. Even if it's your spouse, if you're not going anywhere, if you're married, if you're single, you know, there's neighbors, there's friends, there's church family, there's, you know, let the Lord lead you. But I just want to encourage you, like I shared at the beginning, the Lord told me, praise me when I was having, you know, things happening in the day. There was a lot going on and I just looked to him and began to praise him. Everything else fell away. Well, also he gives us the opportunity to give to others. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. God, our Father, is the ultimate gift giver. He also blesses our daily life with protection, provision, love, kindness, mercy, joy, the fruit of the Spirit. So just like in our offering scripture, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us recognize the gifts from him each day. If we're recognizing and seeing what he's bringing in our life, there's no room for complaint, right? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Let's turn our eyes to Jesus. Let's look at the blessings in our life. Look at the word. Remember the things he's done for us. Praise God. So let's believe for that today. Holy Spirit was given to us by the Father, and the Holy Spirit is here to give us gifts today during this service. Hallelujah. So as we sow our seed, if you're led, sow for the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Sow for the manifestation and the activation of what he has for you in a moment. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. It only takes a moment for a freedom in your life, for freedom in every area, for what he has for you, for the light to come. He's faithful. Keep coming to church. Praise God. He has it for you watching. Amen. So this morning, as we're given, I'm going to read the next phase in our building project. We are believing for the $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to come in by the end of May. Wow, that's today already. Did May just fly by? Praise God. It's still May, though. We're believing for the property and our building of our own with lots of room for growth, the prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms, young adults, the fellowship hall. Praise God. You have the vision brochure. Amen. The vision brochure shows it all. We are excited. We're expecting. So just put your eyes on it. Amen. Here's the building. Glory to God. Think about that. Whether we build, whether there's a building here in town to move into next. Amen. And he provides all the help we need for that. Glory to God. So far, $2,320 has come in. Praise the Lord. That's $2,680 remaining. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Hallelujah. And so if we're giving this morning or as you give this morning, There's an option when giving online to choose building fund or write this on the envelope in the room as you sow into the building fund. If you're giving by cash or credit card, please use the offering envelope and sign the signature line. And if giving by credit card, please, sign it if you're giving by credit card. And if you're giving by check, please make the checks payable to BLFC. Glory to God. And we invite you this morning to give into the house of the Lord and sow and receive your harvest. Let's say our offering confession together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings. We are getting our lands and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double. Double, double, and double again. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. You may receive the offering this morning.
Praise the Lord. Huh. Hallelujah to Jesus. Miracles. Say it together. Miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations, demonstrations, and visitations of Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know last Sunday, we've been teaching on faith and miracles for months. Praise God. But I'm just so thankful. The Lord showed up. Amen. Folks got healed. Amen. Lives were touched. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're expecting more. God is not the God of decrease. He's the God of increase. Amen. Just as Paul shared that scripture a moment ago, he is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But Father God, we thank you for this word. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are the head of the church. You're the head of this church. And Lord, we receive here in this service today in our lives that you are speaking to us the word you have for us in this season. But Lord, we thank you that your word, it is a living word. It is a now word. It is a right now gospel. And so, Father, we receive the manifested presence of God in our lives in this service. And Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are revealing truth to us corporately, but yes, even individually, what each one needs. Yes, what we need, we receive. Holy Spirit, you are breathing on the word, revealing truth to us, ministering healing, ministering breakthrough, ministering finances, whatever we need. We are expecting to hear a word from you, a faith command from you that will set us on a new course, take us to a higher level. And by faith, if you agree with that, say amen. Praise God. Do you have your expectors out today? Amen. We are expecting to receive something from the Word of God. I want to just quickly share this with us here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says here, Jesus, he gave some, and this is after his ascension. So again, the master has ascended, but he says, no, I'm taking the ministry gifts and I'm now dispersing them. And he says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, why did he do it? Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints. I want you to know you are here today. Yes, and all of these resources. So again, whether it be the daily devotional that we're putting out, church services, the book, all of this is here to equip the saints. You are the saints. You're here to be equipped. Say, I'm here to be equipped. Yes, and I am being equipped. Yes, and he says here, but now here, for the work of the service. So again, what we are saying here, the ministry is you. This is your ministry. So number one, you come to receive, you know, in church here on Sundays and Wednesdays and Fridays and what have you. You come to receive so that you can be equipped. Now he's telling you what your calling is so that you can go do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. So again, people a lot of times in churches, you know, think that the work of the ministry is just taking place inside the church building and pastor, he does all the ministry. No. No. Now, again, the fivefold ministry, specifically the pastor and the teacher, my primary ministry is inside these four walls. This is my calling in life, is to equip you so that you can go out there into your neighborhood, into your families, into your workplaces, and share the gospel, to be the one that's going laying hands on the sick. So again, now we have a force multiplier instead of one pastor trying to run around and do all the work and run all over town and do that. No, you're going to wear out pastor. And again, I'm one man or one woman. We can't physically be where you are. Amen. But through you, the saints, you can touch this community. You can touch your neighborhood. Amen. All for the glory of God. And again, Jesus said, we're here to occupy, that is to do business until he returns. Hallelujah. So again, I just feel led of the Lord to share that with you this morning to encourage you. This is why we're here. Again, you are saved to serve. You are healed to serve. You are blessed financially so that you can be a blessing. For amen. All of it is for the work of the ministry. Again, if it was all just about you, you could just hang it up and just go to heaven right now. Again, but Paul said, you know, and even over in Philippians, he's in prison and he's writing to the church in Philippi, you know, and he's saying, no, I would love to go. If it was up to me, I would go. He said, but it's more profitable for you that I stay. So for this reason, I'm going to stay engaged in faith. I'm believing to get up out of here so I can come back to you and continue in the work of the ministry. Praise God. So again, he says here, for equipping of the saints for the work of service and for the building up of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith. Now note here, this is not unity of doctrine. We're not going to come in unity of doctrine, but we can come in the unity of the faith around the core tenets of faith. Amen. He said, and the knowledge of the Son of God into a complete man. This word complete also means to be mature, a mature believer, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So again, so that we can know who we are, what we have, what we can do in Christ, and we're all about it. So that you may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part. Now hear this, as every part or every person effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. That's a lifelong pursuit. You are never going to fully arrive. You're never going to fully arrive. So you are continually growing up. But what we're also seeing here, I am here being discipled. But even as I'm being discipled, I'm also in turn discipling someone else. Amen. So you don't have to be, you know, this perfect mature, been in the Word for 30 years, and maybe finally I've now got some. No, you can share something right where you're at. If you just got saved, you have a testimony. Amen. You can take someone down the same Romans road that got you saved. So you can be doing something, even if it's day one for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, never think that I need to be, you know, some super Christian, you know, before I can get out and be effective. No, you can be highly effective right now, wherever you are, but realize why we're here. Amen. Those of you, why we're here, why we're gathered together, is for the equipping of you, the saints, so that you can be healed, so you can be set free, so that you can turn and go and learn how to minister that effectively to others. Praise God. Just say amen. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. If you have your Bible with you, hard copy, soft copy, wherever you are, those online, do the same. Hold it up big. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Find out what the will of God is and go get your job done. Amen. Praise God and do it in Jesus' name. Do it in faith. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Glory to God. We're going to be looking at the resurrection of Lazarus. Hallelujah. So again, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Praise God. Faith reaches out and it receives what would seem to be impossible. Praise God. So the title to today's message is Faith That Receives the Impossible. Hallelujah. And everything that God has ever called you to do will always be impossible for you. You in and of yourself can no way, shape, or form even come close to fulfilling what God has for you. You're going to have to do it in faith. Again, Romans 1:17, Paul writes, the just, the justified, the righteous shall live by faith. You cannot do this any other way. He is a faith God. He is a faith being. Again, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible. It's just not possible. He says, number one, to please him, for those who come to him must believe that, number one, he is, but also he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. What is that, diligently seek him? I'm going to come to God on the basis of truth, and in faith, I'm going to agree with you. And even though it looks impossible in the natural realm, I'm just going to, God, with you, all things are possible because I'm a believer and I'm not a doubter. So I'm going to stay hooked up with you, and I'm going to live this life of faith with you because this is what you've called me to do. This is who I really am. Praise be to God. So again, he's the God who calls things that be not as though they were. Abraham, the father of faith. Why does the scripture call him the father of faith? Because he took God at his word and he spoke to dead things, calling them that be not as though they were. Romans chapter 4. Glory to God. So again, you and I are here today following that same example, that same pattern of faith, speaking to things, speaking to trees, speaking to mountains, speaking to cancer, speaking to whatever it is. And in the name of Jesus, I'm declaring the end from the beginning. It cannot be any other way. If God has said it, that settles it. Amen. So number one core value in our lives and in this church is the Word of God. It's the first, it's the only, and it is the final authority. I don't consider anything else. If God says that my needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, you will not hear a cross word come out. Well, I guess we're just, you know, this mountain's so high, that debt's so high, that bill's so big, I just don't know what we're going to do. Jesus said, you can have what you say. Matter of fact, he said, you will have what you say. I'm not speaking feared out and unbelief. I'm speaking faith. I'm speaking the truth. The truth is, by his stripes, I was healed. Well, if I was healed, I am healed. I'm never going to speak sickness and disease. It may be cold and flu season and COVID and whatever else for everybody else on this planet. If that's the way they choose to go, I'm not going to participate. I'm participating with heaven. I'm participating with the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm an ambassador of that kingdom. I live from that kingdom. That kingdom is my source. That is my home, not someday right now. I have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ, Colossians chapter 3. I live from that place. I live in victory. All I see is victory. Why? Because I keep my eyes fixed on the Word. I keep my eyes fixed on the victorious Word. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. That was worth coming to church for right there. Glory to God. So again, Jesus raises Lazarus. So again, we're dissecting something. There's 37 distinct miracles in the Gospels. We're going to cover, and we have covered a number of them here on Sundays and Wednesdays. I don't think we're going to get to all of them. He is highlighting certain ones to us. But looking at this miracle, it does not happen in a moment. It doesn't happen in a moment. Hallelujah. This takes place over a period of 4 days. This gospel account, this story. You know, and so again, a lot of these miracles happen in a moment with a touch, with a word, or a simple act of obedience, when we've seen a number of those. But raising of Lazarus is not one of those miracles. This miracle will unfold slowly, painfully for a lot of people involved, and it's also very public. It stretches everybody. The disciples, the sisters, Mary and Martha, the extended family, all the mourners, and it exposes in each one what is happening inside of them long before anything happens in the tomb of Lazarus. So in this miracle, we're going to see here today that number one, faith is tested. We're going to see that emotions are high. They're running a little bit raw. Human logic, it's offended. Timing just feels wrong. Their disappointment is speaking loudly. And absolutely, unbelief is filling the atmosphere. But Jesus refuses to be pushed by anyone else's expectations. He lives, number one, for the audience of one, the Father. Amen. That's a picture for you and I. Everything else and everyone else around you may be telling you, you need to go, you need to do this, you need to do that. No, you need to hear from God. You need to stay tuned in to Holy Spirit and what He's telling you to do and how He's telling you to do it. Don't just run off half-cocked and under your own power and thinking, yes, I'm going to go make it happen. There's some bills that came in. You know, I've got too much month and not enough money. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to go out and get a second and third job. And I guess I can't come to church anymore because I got to work and you know, all this other type of stuff. And it's like, no, that's your own wisdom. That's your own effort. That's the sweat of your brow. That's toil. That's sorrow. That's not what God has for you. That's not what God has for you. Hallelujah. Get the priorities in order. God, you are God. You are number one in my life. And I'm going to make it my priority to seek you first. Seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek His righteousness. Seek His way of doing things, Jesus said. And He said, all the other stuff, it'll be taken care of besides. God will take care of you. He's got a plan to meet your needs without you working three jobs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Amen. The blessing makes you rich. The blessing makes you rich. The blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich. He adds no sorrow with it. He says, neither will your toil increase it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just find out what God has for you to do. The blessing is baked into it. Your provision is baked into it. It's already there, waiting to be received when you'll step out in faith and obedience to what He's showing you to do. Hallelujah. Go fishing, Peter. Go fishing. You're going to catch some fish and you're going to get enough money to pay your and my taxes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, this miracle is not just about Jesus raising a man. He's raising faith. He's shaping the disciples' faith. He's challenging Martha's faith. He's meeting Mary in her broken faith. He's confronting the crowd's unbelief and preparing everyone what was about to happen just a few more days. Is going to be His own crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God. So the miracle of Lazarus being raised is not simply about a dead man coming back to life. It's about the living Savior drawing faith out of people who feel like faith has died inside of them. He's ministering to every single body there, and He's still ministering to us today. Thank you, Jesus. That's why it's in the book. So we're going to look at this John chapter 11. We're going to look at this passage by passage, starting at verses 1 through 6. At this time, a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany. So just a quick note, Bethany is 2 miles from Jerusalem, just a suburb. Jesus went to their house often. So we can remember also prior to this, you know, Jesus held meetings in their home. They must have had a big place because Jesus held meetings in their house. They had some money. We're going to see here in a minute. Let's just keep going. He lived in Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary, whose brother Lazarus was sick just a few days later, was to anoint the Lord with perfume and wipe his feet with her hair. That bottle of perfume cost a year's wages for a working man. A year's wages for a working man. She breaks the bottle, anoints his feet, and wipes him with his hair. Of course, Judas pipes up, "Hey, we could have sold that and given it to the poor." Yeah, right, Judas. You know, so he wanted that money in the bag so he could. Anyway, so again, they were very, very wealthy. They had a very large place, and they had constantly opened up there and partnered with Jesus' ministry. Jesus had a lot of ministry partners who had given into his ministry. These guys absolutely were one of them who opened up their facility, opened up their checkbooks, and had blessed him over and over again. Glory to God. So verse 3 says, so the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." So again, he loved them. These were very close personal friends. These are partners of his ministry, right? With verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death." First words matter greatly. You the death messenger comes. This bad report comes. What you say in that moment matters greatly. Again, you will never hear me express myself in fear, doubt, and unbelief. And if you ever do, I give you permission to come and say, "Hey, Pastor, are you sure about that? Do you want me to agree with that?" "Oh, thank you." No, 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 no. It matters what you say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, first words Jesus speaks here, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So again, God didn't make Lazarus sick. God's not killing Lazarus, you know, just so that he can turn around and heal Lazarus. No, what he is saying here, again, these things are here so that when the kingdom shows up into this place, that y'all will know this is God and that God is good and he is faithful to his word. Amen. Hallelujah. So again, no, this is for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So on hearing that Jesus was sick, he just rushed out. "We got to go. We're having a meeting here in Judea, but no, Lazarus is sick. We're going to break camp, boys. We're going to cut the meeting short. We're just going to run over here." It doesn't, well, no, it don't say that, does it? So on hearing that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. Lazarus is sick. So we're going to look at this 5 times in these first six verses. We see this word sick. It is the word astheno. It means frail. It means weak. It means homebound, unable to travel. So again, Lazarus doesn't just have a cold. You know, he has a debilitating condition where it is even unthinkable that we're going to get up and we're going to move Lazarus to get to Jesus. It's not possible. You know, so it could be he has something like pneumonia or something where, you know, whatever it is, it's a disease that came upon him and probably was something fairly rapid, you know, and now it's got a grip on him, right? So again, it's a severe, debilitating condition where you are unmovable. So again, this sister sent a message, "Lord, the one you love is sick." They appeal to his love. Hey, this is like a brother to you. This is a close partner to you. And they're expecting immediate action. Jesus is going to come. He's going to send a word. He's going to do something. Because again, Jesus has done this a number of times. He sent his word and healed them from that very same moment. He doesn't do any of that. So again, just a side note here, the Jewish leaders, if you could read right before that, has been trying to stone him. So again, this is at the tail end of his ministry, right before his crucifixion, right before they actually do kill him. They've been trying here actively to stone him, specifically when he's outside of Jerusalem. When he's outside, so again, when he's in Jerusalem a few days later, they can't just go and kill him because of the crowds. So again, they have to find some kind of a legal loophole, and this is why they get Pilate and stuff to convict him. You know what? Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Because again, they've been trying to stone him, and they're waiting on Jesus to show up because they know again this is right. This is a suburb of Jerusalem. They know about Lazarus. He's well known in this area. Again, these are wealthy, very wealthy people. They're well known. Lazarus is sick. He's going to come and he's going to heal Lazarus. We're going to lie and wait. And they were waiting on him to stone him as soon as he shows up. Well, after Lazarus dies, well, you know, they drop their rocks. They go back to Jerusalem. All right. Side note, Jesus responds with prophecy. And what he says here, this sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God. And then he does the unexpected. He just stays two more days. Now, something that's very important to know here, Jesus, again, in the moment, if he's ruled by natural logic, human emotions, he's going to drop. He's going to run over here, make haste. Let's rent a horse. I don't know. Let's get moving, right? He doesn't do it. Now, note here two things. Scriptures, John 5:30, Jesus says, I can do nothing. I can't do it. I can't do it. What he's really saying here, if I try to do it, of my own self, of my own will, my own desire, my own human logic, without consulting the Father, whatever I would try to do, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. I'm here as Son of Man. I'm not deity in flesh, just, hey, I got the power, boys, watch me. No, all of it works through His Word. He hears from the Father. That's why he spent so much time in prayer, sometimes all night. On a regular basis, he's rising up early in the morning, going to a deserted place to just spend time alone, communing with Father. I'm hearing from Father. I'm getting a download for this day. I'm getting a download for today, what we're going to do today. He's preparing me. This is what prayer time ought to look like in your prayer closet. Every day. Why am I here? I'm not just here to tell God my 35 things that I need from Him. He knows about all that. Don't go to God like that. Go to Him, Father, this is the day that You have made for me. I'm here for such a time as this. What I'm just here to hear from You. And He might just minister to you. He might just love on you. But be expecting to hear a direction. Amen. Be expecting to hear, this is what I have for you today. This is a word that you need to be standing on. He will show you things to come, the Scripture says. Holy Spirit will show you things to come to prepare you. He will show you things to come. Things to come in this day, things that are coming up next week, things that are coming up next month. And He can even give you scriptures and words to prepare you for when that thing comes. Hallelujah. You should not be caught by surprise left and right for just, you know, life's just coming at me so fast, I just can't hardly keep up. No. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. He'll highlight what you really need to be focused on, and in that you can have perfect peace. I'm not even worried about all this other stuff. Why? Because I've already spoke with Him. I've already heard from Him. And throughout the day, I can continually just check back in with headquarters. Lord, You're the head of the church. I'm Yours to command. Hallelujah. So again, I can do nothing of myself. I judge, or what do you say? I speak. I give a faith command only as I hear. He's got to hear. Jesus had to hear from the Father. Without it, He could not speak. And even if He did, it wouldn't have done any good. He says, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is a scripture we need to be meditating on the rest of our natural life. And it's something that we need to be judging ourselves by. Am I seeking my own will? Am I seeking my own way? Am I doing this according to man's wisdom? Or am I doing this by the leading of Holy Spirit? John chapter 8, verse 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak exactly what the Father has taught me or what the Father has revealed to me. Again, I seek Him first and only, and whatever He says, that will I do, that will I say, and that's what gets results. Glory to God. So again, this family is a very close friend of Jesus. He's visited many times. He's preached in their home. And yet even now he's waiting. He's checking. He's not moved by time. He's not moved by emotions. He's not moved by any of this. He's moved by one thing. Did God say? That's it. Nothing else to consider here. Now, I made this note here, Romans 8:14. This is for you and I today. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So as the sons of God, we are to be led one way by His Spirit, who will lead us through His Word. His Word will reveal what His overarching will is for our lives and in situations. But Holy Spirit will show you the right time and the right way to go walk it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, always seek first the wisdom of God. Never assume and take off just doing something without checking with Him first. Glory to God. let's continue on. Verse 7. And then He said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea. Rabbi, they replied, the Jews just tried to stone you, and you're going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? If anyone walks in the daytime, he will not stumble because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks at night, he will stumble because he has no light. After He had said this, He told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. So Jesus knows by Holy Spirit that Lazarus has already died. By the time they reached him, about the time they reached him, he's already dead. He knows that. But again, his faith is talking. He's asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up, or I'm going to go raise him up. Verse 12, His disciples replied, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get better. They thought that Jesus was talking about actual sleep, but He was speaking about the death of Lazarus. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us go so that we may die with him. I love Thomas. His heart's in the right place, but oh, his faith. His faith. Oh, my goodness. Jesus says, let us go back to Judea. The disciples panic. Fear speaks. Rabbi, they just tried to stone you. All right, but Jesus uses this word sleep as a metaphor to teach His disciples, and then He goes into, are there not 12 hours of daylight? So again, Jesus uses this metaphor of light and darkness to illustrate that walking in the light means living in accordance, number one, with God's will and truth. Amen? The phrase highlights the need of walking in the light of God's wisdom to avoid stumbling by living according to natural wisdom. So if you're walking at night, for example, you're walking according to yourself, you're feeling around, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall on your face, you're going to hurt yourself. No grace. Say no grace. I fall on my face. Right? This is what He's saying. He said, no, when you're walking in the light, when you're walking according to God's wisdom, you know exactly what to do. You know exactly how to get there, and you know it's going to work out because you know you've heard from God. Hallelujah. And with that, there is a peace. Jesus says Lazarus is asleep. This word is in Greek is koimesis. It means sleep. It means rest. It can also mean death. His disciple replied, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get better. But again, Jesus is aware that Lazarus has physically passed away, but he is always declaring the end from the beginning, speaking the desired outcome, calling things that be not as though they were. If Jesus is just, you know, as soon as he hears the word that, hey, you know, come heal Lazarus. Well, Lazarus is just dead, so I guess that's that. No, he's not going to say that. Hallelujah. He's going to speak what he wants to have happen. He's going to speak that end result. Praise God. And he spoke what he saw and heard from the Father. So again, this metaphor also asleep, again, he's teaching faith. This metaphor asleep mirrors the temporary nature of death for believers, as sleep implies an eventual awakening. If you're asleep, you're going to wake up at some point, right? That's what he's really referring to here. So again, Jesus clarifies, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. So again, this miracle isn't just for Lazarus. It's also for their faith. And we're going to see later on, it's for the faith of everybody. Also, he is preparing them for his own resurrection, which is just a few days away. This is probably anywhere a week and a half, 2 weeks later, where he's actually going to the cross. So Thomas responds, let us go die with him. Not faith, but it is very loyal, but it's absolutely mixed with doubt. When you're coming up against something and you need a stand of faith, do not receive Thomas as a faith buddy. All right. You do not want Thomas as your faith buddy ever. No. Thomas eventually did get it right, but oh, Thomas, stop being faithless. The disciples, again, they're following Jesus, but they really never understood him. They never really understood him. Even after 3.5 years of ministry and all that they've seen, and even when they went out 2 by 2 and saw all that took place, these boys still struggle. And, you know, some more than others, but Thomas really seemed to struggle a lot, you know, with faith. Hallelujah. Verse 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already spent 4 days in the tomb. Now, again, so it was messengers came 2 days later. He says, okay, let's go back. So it was a 2 days journey. You know, so Lazarus, about the time he first heard the news, had died. He says, now, verse 18, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them in the loss of their brother. We can see a lot of parallels between this and Jairus' daughter. When Jesus gets to the house, there was this huge commotion out in the yard, in the house. There's weeping and wailing, and there's professional mourners. So again, you have friends and family, but then you would hire professional mourners. This was their profession. They will come to your house. They will throw dust. They will just cry and wail and lament loudly. I mean, it's a chaotic scene. So this is what he steps into. I mean, this is a wild scene. Again, think about it. These are very prominent people. They're very well known. They have a lot of influence, a lot of people. There very well could have been 100, 200 people here. You know, again, they have a large house. So again, you can just imagine. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them in the loss of their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've done all the dying you're ever going to do. That's it. Jesus said, if you'll believe in me, it's over. You will never die. This body may fall, but in the spirit, you won't even know it. You'll just be going along, walking down the street or just waking up in the morning, but you'll just wake up in glory. You'll just step right over into glory. Amen. You know, and then a few more days, he's going to come back and that earth suit, amen, it'll receive glorification. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you've done all the dying you're ever going to do if you're in Christ. He says, do you believe this? Do you, Martha, do you believe this? How does she reply? Yes, Lord, she answered. And she goes on, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. She said a few things here, very key. Number one, I know if you had been here, he would not have died. I know that. But she goes on to say, even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask him. Yes, Lord, and you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And Martha, after Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside to tell her, the teacher is here and asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went out to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were in the house consoling Mary saw how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary came to Jesus and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. All right, so we're going to unpack this a little bit. Lazarus, he's been dead 4 days. Decay has begun. You know, and later we're going to see, he stinks, Lord. He stinks. Hope is just gone at this point. Hope is gone. So again, Martha runs to him. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. That was faith. But she also adds, even now, faith is always now. If faith is ever deferred, if faith is ever in the future, it's not faith, it's hope, it's wishful thinking.
Right.
At some point, faith has to be now. And only when it's now is it actually faith. Even now, I know God will. So again, this is very specific. Even now. So again, she's receiving now, I know. So she's saying, I know this. I know this. I'm not just wishful maybe, huh? I know now. I know now. Faith knows. Faith is of the heart. There's some things you have to know. You have to be settled on. Is it God's will for healing? Is it God's will for me to be healed? Is it God's will for to me to have my needs met? You've got to know it. Now, the truth is in the book,
right.
But you've got to meditate on it long enough to allow that word to drop down from your head and into your heart.
Right.
Faith is of the heart, not the head. And when it comes, faith is in the heart, that word will come out of your mouth and you will line up your actions in agreement with it. Hallelujah. Now we have faith in action, and now we're going to see some results. Glory to God. I know now God will, I know he will. I know it's his will, and I know God will give you whatever you ask. This word ask in Greek, we see it 70 times in the New Testament, primarily in the four gospel accounts, and it's used by Jesus many times when speaking about faith, speaking out about prayer, is specifically making a faith demand on the word. Specifically about that. Jesus, another example of this is over in Mark 11:24. Jesus said, whatever you ask, the same word ask, when you pray, believe you receive it, you will have it. He's speaking in absolute terms. But this word ask means to request, strongly petition, or to demand. Demand God? That's what he said. Make a faith demand. To be adamant in requesting assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, money, or other physical needs. It indicates firmly requesting that a need be met, asking with full expectation to receive. Asking with full expectation to receive. God, your word says, By your stripes, I was healed. I'm not coming today and asking you if it be your will. I'm not asking to see if maybe you will or maybe you won't. I'm putting a demand on this word in my body right now. And I receive body. You hear that word. You see that word. This word says you're healed. And I receive right now, Father God, that that word is alive and active in me. I receive. I'm healed. I'm healthy. I'm whole. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I receive right now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, I want to give you thanks. Hallelujah to Jesus. I thank you that the word is working continually in me, on me, for me, and through me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Ha. Glory to God. I'm not wishy-washy, mealy-mouth thinking. No, I am absolute. I'm putting a demand on that word to work in my life today. Hallelujah. This is what ask means. A lot of times people read that word ask in English and you totally miss what he's really saying. No, you make a faith demand and you expect that when you make that demand, you expect that it's coming to pass now. Glory to God. Even now, I know God will. I know He will. I know He will. When I pray, pray isn't not this, oh God, please heal me. You don't need to ask that. That is actually unscriptural. Oh God, would you please heal me? Jesus, didn't we already heal Rodney? Well, yes, Lord. Father, I was there 2,000 years ago. I took those stripes on my back. Rodney, Jesus already says He already healed you. Oh Lord, would you please heal me? Rodney, Jesus says He already healed you. Oh Lord, please send the power just now. Rodney, by my stripes, you were healed. Oh, Lord. Matter of fact, church, let's all pray and let's petition God to heal brother. Rodney, church, by my stripes, you were healed. I've already sent the power. I've already sent the word. I've given you the name of Jesus. What are you doing with it? So again, it's kind of like that hot potato. Lord, would you do something? Lord, if you can do anything. Pitch it back, Rodney, I've healed you. I've given you the power. I've given you the name. Now you make a demand on it. You make a demand in the name of Jesus, pain, weakness, you leave my body. What am I doing? I'm making that faith. It's not asking petition in that sense. It is I am making a faith demand. And from that place, I'm declaring my victory. Again, Colossians 1:1-3, you have past tense. Been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Yes. Romans 5:17, we're here to reign as a king in life through one Jesus Christ, through Christ, through Christ. So again, I have to know who I am in Christ, what I have in Christ, what I can do in Christ. And in Jesus' name, in Christ Jesus, I am healed. I'm one with the healer Himself. I'm one with the provider Himself. Healing's not out here. I'm not trying to get healing to come. I'm not trying to get provision to come. No, all the provision I need is already in me, in the Spirit. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He says, even before the foundations of the earth, that was already in you in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, what do you say about it? How do you respond to it? Make a faith demand. This is who I am. This is what I have. And this is how it's going to be in my life. Hallelujah. I know now, I know God will. He's willing. He's always been willing. It's not a matter of if He's willing. His will is done. His will is done. Healing is done. Prosperity is done. Salvation is done. What do you say about it? He says over in 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Salvation has been made available for everyone on the planet, and God wants everyone to receive it. But it's not up to Him. It's not up to Him. Healing, the same thing. It's not up to Him. I place the faith demand on salvation and I receive it. I place the faith demand on healing and I receive it the exact same way. And it's easy. So we see here, again, Mary still believes that something is possible, but she doesn't know exactly what. Amen. So again, she knows Jesus can, you know, that again, I know God will give whatever you ask, but she's not quite sure, you know, that resurrection is possible today. She doesn't know that, but she's given Jesus faith and she's putting it all out. Jesus, I know whatever you ask, God will give it to you. I know it. He'll do it now. I know that. Again, she's got a lot of emotion going on here, but she's coming to Jesus and she's absolutely giving him all the faith that she's got. And Jesus is going to help her. He's going to encourage her in this as well. So again, he says, your brother will rise again. Martha responds, I know he'll rise in the last day. Again, she believes in the resurrection, but she does not know that today is a possibility. So Jesus corrects her theology here. He says, I am the same I am that was back at the burning bush. Moses, he's got to go over to Pharaoh. Lord, who am I going to say sent me? I am. I am. I am what I am, and I'll be what I'll be. I am big enough. I'm God. I'll be whatever's needed in the moment. Don't you worry about that, boy. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Not again, he's not saying, not I can resurrect, not I will resurrect, but wherever he is, I am resurrection. I am life. It don't get any bigger than this. I am what I am. I'll be what I'll be. Whatever you're going through today, just know if you're in Christ, I am is in you. I am is with you. Never leaving you, never forsaking you. No, not ever. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, why? So that you might boldly say the Lord, the I am, he is my helper. He's right here with me. All you've got to do is make a demand on I am, and he'll be what you need him to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This word resurrection is the word anastasis. It's a compound word from ana, which means to repeat something or to do it again, and the word stasis, which means to stand. Anastasis means to stand upright again, rising again, a resurrection, to be raised from the dead. It refers to the physical body being resurrected and made alive again. Glory to God. So again, it's made to stand up again. Glory to God. This verse 33. When Jesus saw her, that is Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they answered. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them asked, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept Lazarus from dying? So again, this is what's murmuring in the crowd. Jesus, once again, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Just a quick note. This was a cave that was converted into a tomb, and you can actually go visit it today. I want to go back. I didn't get to, but I've seen pictures of it. It's actually a cave, and it's got a staircase, and it goes way down deep into the bottom of this tomb. So again, you have this cave entrance, and you go down through the door, and there's stairs. You go way down to the bottom of this. Again, it was converted to be used as a tomb. Just a side note. Jesus sees Mary and the mourners weeping. This word weeping is the word kaleo. It means loud wailing, uncontrolled grief. So again, this harkens back to Jairus' house. These friends, family, but also hired professional mourners, they're just carrying on something else. I mean, there's screaming and wailing and just hysteria. You know, oh, Jesus sees all of this coming and he's like, oh my. Oh no, he says he's deeply moved. This deeply moved is the word mbrimaohi. That's a long word. It means to snort with anger like an angry horse. You know, I'm sure you've seen movies or maybe you have horses, and when a horse gets angry, they make this really distinct snort, right? It means that. It means to be moved with indignation. It means to be enraged or angered. It also says he's deeply moved in his spirit and he's troubled. This word troubled is the word terasso. It means agitated, stirred, deeply disturbed, or to stir up. Now, why is all this? Now, first off, Jesus already knew 4 days ago that Lazarus was dead. He already knew that he's going to wake him up. He's not crying because Lazarus died, right? Why would you cry right a moment before you raise him up? That's not it. He's angry, number one, at the spirit of death. He is angry at the unbelief in the atmosphere. You have all of this commotion going on. You have murmuring. You have complaining. Again, Mary specifically, Lord, it's almost an accusation. Lord, if you had been here, if only you had come, he wouldn't have died. So he's angry at the lie that he's too late. Jesus is filled with divine anger and indignation deep within him. And like an angry horse, he has this loud snort that comes out. He's snorting against the spirit of death and against unbelief. Again, he's not responding to natural things. No. Out of his spirit, he's responding to the spirit behind all of this.
Right.
The spirit of death, the spirit of fear, doubt, unbelief, religious spirits. All, I mean, all of this has invaded this very atmosphere, and his spirit is responding to that spirit. All right? Jesus wept. Now, this is not the same word as kaleo. This word is actually ruo. It's used one time in the New Testament right here. These are not quiet tears. This is different. It's a sudden burst into tears. It's a flood of emotion that is released from deep inside of Jesus. So again, Jesus wept does not mean he's overwhelmed with sorrow or grief at the death of Lazarus. So again, why are you going to cry for somebody you're about to wake up? You're not. So again, this is all moving together. So he is deeply moved. He's deeply troubled. Anger, his spirit's responding to that evil, the evil spirits. So again, he is enraged over people's unbelief, the spirit of death. Praise God. So again, the reason Jesus wept, displaying a flood of emotion from deep within him, what this is in context, when you use it in this sense, it's righteous anger at the works of the enemy. And what's happening right now is the power of God rising up from within him, coming against this. He is human. He is also divine. But all of this is going on in a moment. And it's just like this flood of spiritual energy or emotion just rises up out of him. And then he gives a command, take away the stone, Jesus said. Again, he's cutting. So all of this is coming out of him and he's cutting right through. The sword of the spirit, the lion of the tribe of Judah rises up and he says, no, take away the stone. Lord, by now he stinks, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. It has already been 4 days. As if Jesus didn't know. Jesus replied, did I not tell you that if you believe, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes upward and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. After this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. So let's look at this. Verse 39, Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha protests, Lord, he stinks. So again, in this, human reasoning is resisting divine instruction. Master just gave you a faith command. So what we see here is Jesus is working with them. He's always working with their faith. So again, Jesus didn't go up there and remove the stone. He could have went over there and rolled the stone away. No, you do it. I'm giving you a faith command. This is just like Mary telling those boys, hey, go, whatever he tells you to do, y'all go do it. Jesus says, hey, go get some water, start filling up these pots. 20 to 30 gallon pots. So again, they didn't take the whole pot. They were taking small pitchers, drawing water and going filling pots. Jesus is always going to work with you. You're always going to have to participate in the miracle. You're going to have to. At some point, you're going to have to do something. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go dip. Go do something. Hallelujah. Whatever he tells you. So again, take away the stone. They had to have faith to act on the word to go remove the stone. So faith is obedience to the word or divine instruction, especially when you don't understand. God's going to call you to do something that in your head makes no sense. He does it on purpose. You understand? He does it on purpose. Why? Because he knows the only way you're going to do that is if you're in faith. Because in the natural, this will not make sense.
Hallelujah.
Happy Caldwell. He's elderly now. But he planted a church in Little Rock, Arkansas that has been highly successful. Highly successful. It's still going to this day. He's no longer the pastor of it, but he still oversees it to a degree. I mean, major, major. They've done some awesome things. So many lives have been changed and led to the Lord there. He was a liquor salesman. He was a liquor salesman and very good at it. He got saved. God immediately called him into ministry. But the Lord told him, he said, I don't have time to send you over to school. It's going to take too long. I need you, and I need you right now. He says, so here's what you're going to do. For the next year, you're going to quit your job. You're going to stay home, and you're going to read the Bible. You're going to, you know, go through these books for the next year. For the next year. Mm-hmm. 1 year. He's not working. There's no salary for a whole year. That makes no sense to your natural mind. But he obeyed God. And over the course of time, he keeps obeying God, and Lord has blessed him and blessed him and blessed him and blessed him, and that church and that community has been so blessed. That's a major step of faith. Hallelujah. And he just got saved. He just got saved. I love hearing about people's acts of obedience, especially when he's just a brand new Christian. Glory to God. Go take off work for a year and there's no salary. And God took care of him. They didn't miss anything. Everything got done. Hallelujah. Praise God. He provides. Hallelujah. Where he leads, he provides. Glory to God. Jesus answers here, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So Martha had already spoken her faith, but she wasn't all that sure about Lazarus being resurrected today, right? But she knows that God can do, you know, she knows that whatever Jesus asked the Father, he's going to do it. So she's already said as much. She's still trying to work this out, though. Jesus, here in this moment, he speaks to her faith, and he's asking her to stay hooked up with him and just believe. So again, this harkens right back to Jairus. The death messengers come. Hey, don't bother the master anymore. Your baby girl is dead. Jesus standing by overhears that, and he turns to Jairus and says, only believe. Just keep believing. And Jairus, and he follows Jesus, gets over to the house, and Jesus raises her up from the dead. He's speaking to Jairus' faith, and right now he's speaking back to Martha's faith. Hey, keep on believing, girl. You've come this far. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Great. Again, Jesus is always ministering to people's faith, as it is the key ingredient, not just to how we receive a miracle, but just how you live your daily life. Again, the just shall live by faith. That's every aspect of your life is to be done in faith, being led of the Spirit of God, acknowledging him. And whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm seeking, I'm taking the time on purpose to find out what he's saying to me about every situation. And whatever he says, I'm going to go do it. This is what he means to live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle, not a moment. Faith is a lifestyle, not a moment. Again, Jesus, the Master, our example, I can do nothing of myself. I only say as I hear. Thank you, Jesus. He prays publicly, not for himself, but for the crowd. Father, I thank you. You've heard me. And the only reason I'm even doing this, he says, is so that they, you hear that you may believe. So again, this miracle is a faith lesson for everybody in the crowd. So again, he's ministered to the disciples' faith. He's ministered to the sisters' faith. Now he's ministering to the public faith. He cries out in a loud voice. This word is loud voice is the word kragazo phone. It's an emphatic outburst. Jesus shouts. He commands Lazarus with authority. I want you to make note here. I believe we mentioned it before. Jesus, when he gets ready to minister healing to somebody, he never prays, oh God, please heal. Oh God, please send the power. He commands. Peter caught hold of this when he's in the boat going through the storm and Jesus comes walking on the water. Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, I'm not sure. It looks like a ghost. If that's you, command me to come to you on the water. Come. Peter had learned by this point that Jesus did everything through a faith command. So he knows if I can get Jesus to give me a command, that will enable me to walk on water or do whatever it is he says. Jesus says, come. Jesus isn't going to deny himself. He just says, come. Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on that faith command. Jesus always is given a faith command. His words are faith commands, not suggestions. If you will receive it, as this is a faith command from the head of the church speaking to me, healing, deliverance, freedom, salvation, provision, amen. It'll be a word for you that you can stand on. It'll be a word that will uphold you. And even if it's impossible to move that mountain in and of yourself, which it is, even if it's impossible for you to walk on water in and of yourself, which it is, if he gave you that word, it'll work for you. It'll work for you every time when you will receive it as such. Not a suggestion, but this is a faith command, and that word is going to work for me. Glory to God. So Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come out. Now, just a quick note, if he hadn't specified Lazarus, everybody in that area would have risen up from the dead. But no, he specifically targets Lazarus. And again, Lazarus is in the bottom of this deep tomb. All right, and he's bound. They learned this in Egypt, but they would wrap him, you know, head to toe. They're wrapped like mummies. So this is where he's at in the bottom of this tomb. So again, verse 44, the man who had been dead came out with his hands and feet bound in strips of linen. So again, the only way he got from the bottom of that tomb to the top of that tomb is an angel had to come somehow, and just because he's like this. He can't move. He can't see. He comes and he's now standing at the door of that tomb. Jesus says, all right, again, y'all go unwrap him. Amen. So his hands and feet bound in strips of linen. His face is wrapped in cloth. Unwrap him and let him go. Jesus told him. So Lazarus comes out. He's still restricted. He's alive, but he's not yet free. So Jesus gives the final command, unwrap him and let him go. That word unwrap is the word luo. It means to untie, to unbind, to set free. Go in the Greek means hupago. It means to go under, meaning to let him go under my authority. Let Lazarus go under my authority. This is the power of God's word. It can raise the dead, and it can also raise you out of a dead or impossible situation and bring you into a new life. Loose him, unwrap him, let him go under my authority. Under my authority. Under my authority. Go preach the gospel. Go into all the world, same thing, under my authority. Go under my authority. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, what does this miracle teach us? Delays are not denials. Well, it should have happened by this time, and I guess it didn't, so it must not have been God's will. God left me hanging. Delay is not a denial. Jesus waited on Holy Spirit to direct him. So I want to encourage you today, have you heard? You may think, according to your time frame, according to your wisdom, that this hasn't gone, this hasn't worked. Have you heard from God? Have you spent time in your prayer closet? Have you spent time in the Scripture to find out what His will is concerning this situation and how He wants to move for you in this situation? Hey, amen. Too many people are just missing God and then blaming God, all the while they didn't even know. They didn't know, number one, is this His will, or this, or how does He want to do this? Because again, He's inviting you to participate with Him, and it's going to have to be by faith. Faith can be mixed with disappointment. Martha and Mary both said, if you had been here, Jesus confronts unbelief before He confronts death. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So again, your breakthrough, hey man, a lot of times people are just praying for breakthrough, and all the while Jesus is trying to invite you and work with you to get your faith up so that He can work that breakthrough in your life. Again, this is not according to His power. It's not according to His will. It's according to your faith, which is going to require your involvement, your participation, and your steps of obedience. This isn't just, oh God, just come send the power just now and just drop it on me. No, there's always a participation. Again, this goes back to the garden, Father and Son. God would form an animal from the dust of the ground. He brings it over to Adam. Whatever Adam calls it, that's what it's going to be. That's its identity. There's always a co-laboring, God and Son, always. Again, God wanted His will done in the earth, but it took a man, it took Jesus to work with Him to get it done. This goes back to Abraham, same thing. It took a man in the earth to work with Him to get it done. All of the prophets, it took a man to work with God to get His will done in the earth. It's the same thing for you and I. All of these are examples of faith for us to follow. It always works the same way. Hallelujah. Jesus reveals Himself. So again, faith is progressive. So Jesus reveals Himself progressively. Now He says to her, I am the resurrection. He took her faith to a new place. She knew about the final resurrection, but she didn't know about resurrection power today. He says, no, hey, sweetheart, I am the resurrection. Just believe. Don't stop believing. I am the resurrection. Faith must move stones. What is this? So again, before Jesus spoke to Lazarus to come out of the tomb, they had to go do something. A simple act of obedience. This is not hard. This is not difficult. It just takes a simple act of obedience. God's going to give you something, and if you'll act on that, it can be so simple.
Amen.
Paula? Baby Alice? You invited someone to church. She invited somebody to church. Very simple, easy thing. Again, we do it all the time, but she on purpose heard to witness to them, to invite them to church, and they did. What if she had not invited them to church? Alice wouldn't be here today. Not with us. We got to adopt this baby girl because she invited somebody to church. You know, and again, not that person, but you know, family, we ended up getting to adopt this baby. You don't have no idea what's on the other side of just a very simple act of obedience. God didn't show us that. God didn't show you at that time, hey, if you'll just do this one thing, oh, it'll be a blessing to your life that has beyond measure. Just one simple act of obedience. And we've seen the same thing show up so many times, and you can trace it back. Yeah, we just said yes, we would go help there, or we would just do this. And again, a series of little yeses have such a profound impact. What is that? That's the blessing of the Lord making rich, not adding any sorrow, not adding toil, easy and light. Hey, Peter, just go fishing. Hallelujah. When you're going to catch a nice big fish, You can come home and cook him for your family, but there's going to be gold in the mouth to pay your and my taxes. So simple. So easy. Faith must move stones. Obedience will always precede breakthrough. Obedience will always precede breakthrough. Well, I just want to see my breakthrough. Where's your act of obedience? Where's that act of faith? Amen? There is something involved, and if you don't know what it is, you need to go find out. That is the key. Jesus speaks into dead places with authority. Again, he's making a faith demand on the resurrection life. Jesus is making a faith demand on the resurrection life in him. This is important to see. When you want to minister to yourself or you are ministering, Jesus said, you go lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I'm mixing faith with all of this. What am I doing? I'm making a faith demand on Christ in me. I'm making a faith demand on resurrection in me. Peter and John at the beautiful gate, Acts chapter 3. Such as I have, man lame from birth, such as I have, give I you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Peter knew the resurrection that was in him. Peter knew, had faith in the name of Jesus. And he knows when I'm calling on the name of Jesus, the I am, the healer, the resurrection, all of it is in that. And I'm just, this is what he's reaching out. So that faith in Peter is reaching out, touching this man and ministering that to him. Jesus in the spirit just drops down and says, Lazarus, come forth. He's making that demand on the healer. He's making that demand on resurrection life in him to go forth it through those words to touch Lazarus. And it does. He, hallelujah. Jesus, again, he goes back and he's partnering with people to finish the miracle, unwrap him and let him go under my authority. Hallelujah. So again, what this miracle means for us today, Lazarus' story is not just a record of what Jesus did. It is a revelation of what Jesus still does. Whatever he has done, he is, he will do, and he will forever do. Every stage of this miracle mirrors a stage of our own walk with God. When God delays, he's not denying, he's preparing. It's never too late. It's never too late. He's aligning us for even greater glory. Bring your disappointment to Jesus. You know, we all have disappointments. We've all, you know, have fallen short or you know, we were believing for something and it didn't work out in the time frame. It didn't go the way we thought, right? Bring it to Jesus. Mary and Martha both said, Lord, if you can be here, if you had been here, they brought him their pain, their confusion, their questions. Jesus does not rebuke them. He just ministers faith to them. He reveals to them, hey, sweetheart, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Let me help bring your faith up here so you can receive this. Amen. Jesus is not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your disappointment. He's there to minister to you. So come boldly to the throne of grace and receive that from him. Praise God. We need to allow Jesus to confront the unbelief that hides beneath our grief. Jesus groans again, not at Lazarus, but at the unbelief surrounding that situation. So before he raises the dead, he has to confront this atmosphere. Praise God. So again, sometimes the miracle you need begins with Jesus confronting the lies you have believed. Amen. Say that's me. Because I assure you, each and every one of us that have lies that we have or maybe even currently are still believing. Again, you don't see everything the way you need to see it perfectly. Bring it to Jesus. Lord, if there's anything in me, not of you, especially concerning this situation, I'm asking you to shine the light. Show me where I have believed wrong. Show me where I have been living wrong. Show me what this is. And Lord, I make this commitment to you. If you'll show it to me, I'll repent of it. I will repent of it. and I will turn from that and I will follow you in this area in a higher flow, in a greater way. Amen. Glory to God. That is the key right there. Praise God. Faith must move stones before God moves mountains. Take away the stone. Jesus, again, could have moved it himself, but he didn't. He asked them to do the part that they could do so that God could do the part they couldn't do. God was not going to speak to Lazarus until they took the stone away. They had to do it. They had to do it. All the prayer, none of that was going to work until they did that part. They had to do that part, and Jesus was not going to do it for them. I'll make note here. There is always a stone. There is always a step of obedience that will precede your breakthrough every time. Listen for the voice in the places that feel dead. Listen for his voice in the places that feel dead. Lazarus, come out. Jesus is here today speaking into dead marriages, dead dreams, dead callings, dead emotions, and dead hope. Now I want to encourage you. He says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Jesus is the resurrection. He is always speaking resurrection life. He's always speaking victory. He's always speaking breakthrough. Listen for his voice in your life. What part of your life needs resurrection power today? Here, go home right now. Go get in your prayer closet. Go draw away and just hear from him. And I allow him, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. And I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to turn everything else off. And I'm going to hear from you today. I'm going to hear from you today. You're speaking and I'm tuning in. Amen. Resurrection is instant, but freedom is a process. Lazarus came out alive, but he's still bound. Jesus raised him, but people had to unwrap him. This is discipleship. You may be saved, but still bound in places. Most are. You may be alive, but still restricted. Let the people God sends help unwrap what's still tied up. Now, we shared this in the opening in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave fivefold ministry gifts. And what? Come on, class, help me. For what purpose? To edify, yes. To edify, some scriptures say edify, others say for the equipping of the saints. Well, if you neglect that part, you cannot expect to be edified or equipped. But again, it wasn't just for you, it's so that I can be edified, so I can be equipped, so I can now minister to my brothers and sisters, so I can also go out of my community, amen, and be that salt and light. Hallelujah. Well, what if we don't receive that part? Then you just won't receive that. You won't receive that help. There are so many things. You can get a lot just at home, spending time in your Bible, spending time in the Word. Mm-hmm. But there's a simple act of obedience. Hebrews chapter 10, 24, 25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day of the Lord's return approaching. And we are in that final hour. There's so much that God has for you that you can only receive when you'll be obedient to revelation, what he's put in his word. Again, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Glory to God. And I praise God, you're here, you're receiving it. Glory to God. So he says, walk forward under his authority into the life that he has restored. Amen. Say, saved to serve. Again, that word hupago means go under my authority. Jesus did not just raise Lazarus. He released him into a new season. I want to note here, Lazarus was about 30 years old at this point in time. He released him into a new season. Your miracle, whatever you might experience, is not the end. That's not God's highest and best. That's just we go from faith to faith and we go from glory to glory to glory. Amen. Your miracle is not the end, it's the beginning of a new walk. And just for bonus notes, I did a lecture study. I'm not going to go all through it today, but what happened to Lazarus after Jesus raised him. What happened to Lazarus? Very interesting story. Very interesting. Just a quick synopsis. Right. So again, week and a half, 2 weeks later, Jesus goes to the cross. They were there. They wanted to kill Jesus if he was going to come to heal Lazarus. They had left. But as soon as they heard that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they said, let's kill them both. You know, let's go kill them both. Never mind that he just resurrected somebody, been dead 4 days. Let's go kill him so Jesus can raise him up again. I don't know. But anyway, they said, no, we're going to kill both of them. Well, they did kill Jesus. Well, I mean, sort of. It didn't really take, but you know, they did. But again, after this, they also went out and they did start persecuting Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And specifically after they stoned Stephen, Paul was holding the coat. Saul of Tarsus was holding the coat. They stoned Stephen. After this, a great persecution arose. They took Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They put them in a boat, no oars, on the Sea of Galilee, and just released them. That they were expecting that they were just going to sink. The boat actually floats and ends up over in Cyprus. Lazarus, the sisters, they go out evangelizing. They found a church that is still there to this day. They went on, had 30 years of ministry, and he became the pastor and bishop over that church in that area. Again, that church still remains to this day. It's still there. You can go visit it. That's Lazarus. Saved to serve. Healed to serve. Go under my authority. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That, hallelujah, I believe would just be a blessing and a word to us. So in closing, let's all stand. If Lazarus could walk out of a tomb and spend the rest of his life serving Jesus, testifying of Jesus, and living under the authority of Jesus, so can you. So can you. God can take anybody to do anything that he has for you. Praise God. So again, you may not have been dead 4 days, but I'm here to tell you Jesus is right now calling your name. Now rise, be unwrapped, and walk. Amen. As a friend of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. He it is who has my commands and keeps them. These are my friends. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. I want to share this in closing. Romans chapter 10 that says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if everyone who believes in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. So let's all pray this together. Here watching, those of you online, you've got to open your mouth. You have to say it. Out of your heart, you have to speak it. Praise God. And by that, salvation comes. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that you sent him to the cross to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, I confess you now as the Christ, as my Savior, and I make you the Lord over my life. From this moment forward, I will live by faith, going through this life under your authority, fulfilling the kingdom purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Well, we believe according to the word of God that if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. Praise, hallelujah. You've done all the dying you're ever going to do, and that today is the beginning of your new life in Christ, saved to serve all for his glory. Hallelujah. Well, Wednesday night, we'll be back here. Doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. We're going to be sharing on Jesus, the miracle worker. It continues. Praise be to God. In the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in him, we are living in victory.